Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Oh, come on. It's 1 hour of sleep. You're okay. I tell you, when I woke up, though, what was once 5:45 was 4:45. I had to shout Jesus to the darkness. Hey, can we welcome the men of Lansing and everybody online? We love you so much. We have seen an awesome turnout on Sunday mornings at Lansing, and they're bringing their friends, and they're bringing and people are coming alive to Jesus. It's what a privilege it is to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a fist bump or a high five, a low five. Be friendly. And we're going to jump to God's word today. And we're continuing our series of sermons called Covenant Relationships. Covenant relationships. And we're talking about that big spiritual word covenant, because the truth is, if you want relationships to work, whether it's friendships, whether it's marriage, whether it's interpersonal dynamics within your family of origin, it all starts with your cornerstone connection of who you are in Christ. If you want to grow in your relationships, it's not about changing them. It's about Jesus changing you. And we've talked about marriage. We talked about raising world-changing kids. But today I want to talk about peace, the peace of God. How do we contend for peace? How do we keep peace? Where there's been brokenness, how do we restore relationships with peace? If your marriage is in conflict, how do you begin to have peace again? How do we even walk in peace? Because we live in a world at war, and God has called us to be people that bring peace. Peace is this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit called peace. It is vital to our lives. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon of all time, he said, blessed are those who are the peacemakers, who those that keep the peace. Blessed are those that know how to bring peace to a situation. Blessed are those that can come into conflict and come into chaos, and by their presence and by the fruit of the Spirit in life, all of a sudden where there was once turmoil and toxicity, there's a peace in that place. It says they will be called the children of God. So that means as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, where we go, we bring peace. So where you're going and there's conflict, that means something is lacking in that situation. I know it takes two to walk in unity, but it takes one to make a decision. I'm going to be a person that brings peace. Peace is this fruit of the Spirit. This is why we've got to protect it. We cannot let the enemy steal what God is producing in our lives. It will stop us from having healthy minds and healthy homes. It will crush and kill relationships. It will hurt marriage if we allow conflict to win the day. It will separate families. It will separate even church family. It will cause friendships to fall apart, because we live in a world where the enemy divides, but we have a Prince of Peace named King Jesus, that where he rules and reigns, peace follows. And he rules and reigns in your life. What areas of your life and what areas of relationship do you need to let the peacekeeper, the peacemaker, the King of Peace show up and rule and reign? I want to speak today about how we have this power to make peace in our life, to bring peace. And we have this priority to protect peace in our life. We're going to talk about how to protect the peace. How many would like more peace in their life? There's four of us. How many would like more peace in their life? Just take that moment right here. Just to like rest in a moment. Does that feel good? Isn't that better than fighting? Isn't that better than frustration? Isn't that better than that inner turmoil that you feel in a relationship? Just that moment of peace. Well, it's not moment by moment. It's actually a ministry of the Holy Spirit that's for every single life, for every single marriage. And friend, I don't care what you came from or what sort of conflict has been brewing in your life, it is for you. The Prince of Peace is your portion. Amen. Can we pray? Come on, those online at Lansing in the room, let's pray. God, we thank you that you brought peace to us. We were once separated from God. There was conflict between us and heaven. And you sent the hand of God. You sent Jesus. He came down and he understands what it means to walk in relational dynamics. He understands what it means to walk into conflict. He understands what it means to even be despised by other people. And yet everywhere he went, peace and prosperity and blessing and favor followed. Relationships would thrive when Jesus was the focus. And so in the same spirit, Lord, I thank you. We carry that by the Holy Spirit today. Would you bring peace? I know there are marriages in this place that are in a messy spot. They're in a miserable place. That is not the plan of God. And so we thank you, the plan of God, which is peace and favor and fulfillment in families, in relationships between siblings, in workplaces, in friendships. Lord, I thank you the peace of God would rule and reign in our lives. From this moment forward, in Jesus' mighty name, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 from the Amplified, verse 3, it says, strive earnestly to guard and keep this harmony of the Spirit, this peace of the Spirit. Strive earnestly. It says the posture that produces peace is not pushing away and being distant. That's what we often think. If I could just get away from everything, if I could just get a little peace and quiet, if I could just get away from all the issues or that problematic person, and we'll talk about that in a moment, there is places of boundaries that are beautiful that God has designed for you to have and keep your peace. But we think if the whole world would just settle down or I could just get away from it all, then I'm gonna have peace. But there, Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, no, we actually have to push into peace. The posture of peace is not you pushing away, it's you actually pressing in. And by the way, the world needs the people of peace. The people that understand what it means to be at peace with God, to bring that peace into the brokenness of humanity and to the struggles and conflicts in people's homes. We've got something that the world so desperately needs. This is why it's important for us not to push back, but to press in. The posture of peace is not withdrawal. Withdrawal, my Oklahoma came out there, withdrawal. No, it's a lean in. I'll pray that you would lean in and let God speak to your heart instead of trying to get answers to someone else's problems, that you would let God work first and foremost in you. As we lean in, this doesn't seem related, but I promise you it is. Do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a vision for your marriage? Do you have a vision for your family? Maybe even your career. Do you have a desired outcome? Do you know what you want it to look like? That's what vision is. Well, what does vision and peace have to do? They have a lot to do with each other. Because the enemy of vision is division. The enemy of vision is conflict. That when we're in conflict, there's chaos. But when we're walking in peace, we're walking according to the plan of God. In fact, the number one enemy to vision is division. It's this conflict. It's on the inside of all of us. It's in this world. Wherever we go, because we're in a world that is at war, there will be conflict. You cannot avoid it. It is everywhere. So if you're going to be in relationship with people, what do we have? We have two people, maybe even a family group. They have different perspectives, different priorities, and different problems. And wherever we go, there we are. We bring ourselves into the equation. What you are hoping is that God would bring peace and change them so you can stay the same. That is not the way that God works. He works first and foremost in you. So peacemaking and peace protecting is the antidote to the enemy of your God progress. The devil who tries to bring division, God wants to bring unity. A few years ago, we exited an airplane and we had to wait. And I was actually in the moment, I was thinking about, man, we got to wait. We got to make a connecting flight. Why are they stopping us? And then I understood the power of the moment. The color guard came out in front of the plane and they removed the remains of a fallen soldier to bring him back home. In the busyness of life, I understood that, hey, there's bigger things going on. Things that are bigger than me. Bigger than my agenda, bigger than my plan. It reminded me that there is a cost to peace. There's a price to pay for peace. Peace has a cost. Peace has a price. Do you know that your Savior has paid the price? Not that you could have peace one day into eternity. No, that you can have his portion of peace in your marriage and in your life right here, right now. I know you haven't seen it done before in your family of origin, but God will do it through you. It only takes one to change the story and the narrative of a family. Would you be the one that understands that peace is something that I have to protect and peace is something that I have to promote? I need to be a person of peace. I believe total peace in this world. Listen, people pray, I pray for world peace. It's a beautiful prayer. But it won't happen until Jesus returns. Now we have more peace. We can have peace in the Middle East. We have peace in the Eastern Front of Europe. We can have peace in Kansas City. We can make progress in peace, but total peace will not become a reality until the Prince of Peace returns. Why? Because we live in this fallen world. What does it say in Genesis 3, at the fall of man, when sin entered the world, that there would be this conflict, this animosity. This is what would happen until Jesus comes back and restores it all. But we are carriers of that peace wherever we go. So it might not happen in the world. Listen, it can happen in my world. It can happen in your world. It might not happen in every marriage out there, but it can happen in your home. It can happen in this house and in this church. Chaos is out there, but it doesn't have to live in your heart. It doesn't have to live in your house. It doesn't have to live in our church. Why? We are peacemakers and peace protectors. I got a couple thoughts I think will speak to you about your part to play in protecting peace in your relationships and even here in our church family. First one is this: peacemakers do what? We restore, realign, or remove any problem or person that steals peace. We actually have this first. Notice the order here. First is restoration. We are people of reconciliation. We are people of forgiveness. We are people of restoring. Why? We've been restored to God. Why? We're called to restore others. So as believers, we are the last people to cancel people. Why? Because our sins were canceled on the cross. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And yet, I say in the American church, if I could say this boldly, we become the first people to cancel everyone else. And yet it shouldn't be that way. In the conflict of this world, we're carriers of a higher calling. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. And so while there might be chaos in this world, we don't live according to its rules. We have a different king. And his agenda and his plan is salvation for all humanity. So we first and foremost look for restoration in relationships. Second thing we do, if there's not restoration, it might need to be a realignment. It's not that I cancel them out of my life. They just don't get close access to my heart. I'm learning to protect the peace that God has given me. And so while they might be a part of my story, we might not walk forward into the future the way that we did before. At the same level of connectivity and relationship and camaraderie. Why? Because they're costing me peace too much. I'm not gonna let it steal my peace. And then there's times to just remove people or situations that kill your peace. This is like a cancer. If you don't deal with it, it will spread. If you don't deal with it in your marriage, if you don't deal with it in your own heart, avoiding it is not making it go away. It might be costing you more than you know. If we don't deal with problems and even problematic people in the right way, a grace-filled way, a God's word kind of way, you will either have a peace erosion over time or a peace explosion. That's not a good thing, by the way. For your peace to explode, evaporate, disappear, a problem that rises up that causes more damage, that causes a lot of pain. You know that what it takes to have an explosion is when you need a fuel source. You need something that is ignitable, combustible. And then you need it in a container. This is what makes it explosive. If you just pour gasoline on the ground and light it, it will catch on fire, but it will not explode. But if you put it in a can or a bottle and you contain it, it cannot be held once it gets what? A spark. That's the third part. And the same thing happens in conflict relationships in our life. There's toxicity everywhere. Why? We live in a fallen world and we got our own hangups and issues. We got the way our family used to do things, maybe something that was said or done. And you know, before you know it, that fuel begins to fill up. And if we don't put it in the right place, in fact, if we live compartmentalized in our life, it begins to fill up. And all of a sudden it just takes a spark and the whole thing blows up. Marriages fall apart, not because of that one argument. It's because they didn't get rid of the problem. They didn't get rid of the poison or toxicity and it became combustible. Every married couple in here knows that you had a fight about something. It was not about where they put the groceries on the shelf. Come on, you had a big all, like shouted out, yelling at each other. Well, you always and you never and all of that. That wasn't the issue. X isn't equaling Y here. There was something else that over time was not dealt with. And it began to build up over time. And all it took was a spark. And before you know it, the whole house catches on fire. when we bottle up emotion and frustration. We bottle up hurt and heartache. Some of you have stuff in the container of your heart that isn't even from the person you're married to. It isn't even from the person that you think you have the biggest problem with. It's from something maybe a generation ago or that happened a few months ago, and you're carrying it into the conversation. This is why we gotta learn to diffuse the toxicity of the things in our inner world. It's why we live holistic. We live, the word integrity means I'm integrated into one. I don't have these compartments in my life, so there's no place for toxicity to go and store up and blow up in my life. I know how to get it out in God's presence. I know how to get it out in right conversation. I know how to talk about what really the problem is and not turn into something chaotic. The marriage fights are normally a spark of a normal disagreement or situation that ignites a tension that's been building for a long time. So you got to learn to put the fuel in the right place. Philippians chapter 4, pretty well-known passage. It gives us some God steps to get things in reorder, restructure, and realignment in our inner world. Action steps you can take to diffuse the drama, at least for you. Philippians chapter 4 says this, don't worry. How many know that fear fuels most relational explosions? Fear that you're not going to get what you want. Fear that it's going to turn out the way it did before. Fear that they don't really care or love you. You get these fear or worry that builds up. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There's that step one. Instead of choosing to go the way the world does, which is fear, we're people that bring our faith into the equation. We're people that pray and give to God what we are going through. It says, tell God what you need and then thank him. There's another piece, gratitude. That instead of being frustrated by what you don't have yet, be grateful for what God has done or who that person is in your life, and that gratitude will diffuse the toxicity of the situation. Then you will experience what? God's peace. Not just a lack of conflict, because you can still have peace in the midst of storms. You experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you could understand. It's beyond the ability for the world to even understand. Why are you at peace when your family's going through such a situation? Why are you at peace when your career seems to go in the wrong course? Why are you still at peace when that person did that to you? It's because they were not your portion of peace. Jesus was. Because as you live in Christ Jesus, you can have the Prince of Peace at work in every area of your life. But there is a time to remove some things. Not just around you, but maybe who you allow close proximity to you. Proverbs 22 verse 10 says, kick out the troublemakers and things will quiet down. You need a break from bickering and griping. Every mom out there that has two kids around the same age, that you need a break every once in a while. Well, you can't handle all that conflict all the time. But there's a time to remove troublemakers or remove the access they have granted to your heart and to your soul. So if you want peace, you have to choose what orders your life. When you put God, when you put King Jesus on the throne of your heart, that is the only order to where God will bring order and bring peace into your life. Some of you have a lack of peace when it comes to your relationships. Why? Because they're your God, not the one that died on the cross for you. Having that relational hole is way more important than the salvation separation that you used to have. So you have things in wrong order. Some of you financially, you're so worried and fearful. Why? Because money is your master. Because you haven't learned to honor God and put him first in that place in your life. When you order your life and put God in place, God will then order your life and put you in the right place. And the place is called peace. 1 Corinthians 14 says, God is not a God of disorder. He is a God of peace. And he wants it for all of his churches. He wants it for all of his people. He wants it for your life. He's not talking about everything's got to be OCD and perfect alignment. It's not talking about a personality trait. It's talking about a place of priority. You will not have lasting peace until Jesus is king over everything in your life. What's our world ordered by? Control, power, fear, fighting, pride, self-protection. So we don't do relationships like the world. Why? We don't want to have the chaos that they have. We have a higher calling. And it's not just a calling for us to be in places of serenity. No, we get this calling of people of service and surrender. That we're not just trying to get something for ourselves, we're trying to bring something to others. In fact, you want to have a prospering relationship, whether it's a friendship, dating, or married. You come into the thing not to serve to get something out, but to serve because you care about them. And when you live your life poured out for others, you will live your life filled up. But if you're living your life poured out to win their approval, friends, that is people pleasing, and that will become codependency, and that will cost you your peace in the long run. So what do peacemakers do? We first and foremost, we look inward, and then we look upward, and then we look outward. If you're looking for peace, it starts with, what does God need to do in me? This is why we call this series Covenant Relationships, because it's more than just a how to have a happy home. It's how to have a healthy heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, you don't like how you're talking to your spouse, your mouth speaks. So what needs to change? Something in your heart needs to change. So instead of, God, change my spouse, God, change my situation. No, God, like David said in the Psalms, investigate me. What needs to change in me? And then I look to the one where my help comes from. I look up, because that's where ultimate change really happens. I look in the Word. When I look in the Word, I'm elevating my life. I'm getting God's truth and His principles, and I'm learning to apply them to my inner world. And when I begin to change, because I'm looking to God as my solution, then my relationships begin to change. Then I can look outward. So we hold off judgments on everybody else, because we tend to judge everyone else by their actions and us by our intentions, don't we? And when we live that way, we live a pretty much pharisaical, hypocritical life. Because as believers, we're not people like, we got to go change all of them. No, no, no. God, change me. God, you're my source and supply. And when I live with those first two steps, that next step is I'm going to have something to give, something to love, and I'm going to be able to give to them open hand and not needing something back. And by the way, when you live that way, you'll get everything you need and everything that God has for you when He is your portion and He is your supply. And we're living in this world of the spin zone. Media this year, come on, how many know? Election year, don't know if you noticed this. People are spending billions of dollars to be in control. Oh, it gets real quiet when you bring any politics into church, okay. But we live in this world of such divisiveness and such infighting and half-truths that become full stories, right? They spin it. And we tend to do the same. We tend to spin everyone else's story, and then we paint ourselves as people that have it all figured out. So if you would just say, first and foremost, God, I come to you humbly. Would you change me on the inside? God, would you renew that right spirit within me? God, you're my source and supply. They aren't. And if that's the way you start to tell and share your story, you're going to begin to spin things around for the benefit and the blessing of God in your relationship. God has more for your marriage, for your friendships, for relationships with your siblings. And it starts with the work that He does in you. It starts with what He does in you. As we build our relationships, I think this year in particular, there will be so much. Listen, we thought it was crazy the last few years. This year, I promise you, it's going to get crazier. There's just conflict and tension and division like never before. This is why the enemy is working overtime. This is why we got to protect the peace at levels that we've never done before. But if you do not protect it, it will get poisoned. Proverbs 18, verse 13, what a shame. Yes, how stupid. To decide before knowing the facts. How many know there's two sides to every story? You are frustrated with this person, and you're frustrated with that person, and you're frustrated in this relationship, but guess who the common equation is in the relationship? It's moi. If you don't speak French, it's you, it's me. It's us. And by the way, we can't change anything about them. I can only change like God changed me. And if you will live from that posture of humility, you will have a healthy heart and you will attract people with healthy hearts. And you'll have something to give people that maybe don't have health and don't have strength, maybe don't have the things in right alignment. You will be a witness to a world that is weary and looking for solution because your Savior, the Prince of Peace, is ordering your life. By the way, this is why the passage in the scripture is so important, that we pull the planks out of our own eyes before we point out the specks in everybody else. And maybe your spouse, your friend, your sister, whoever has got all sorts of issues, but you cannot change them. But God will change you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Peacemakers have priorities in their relationships. In other words, there's levels to this thing. If you want to level up, you learn to reorg your priorities. Want to know what your priorities are? Romans 15. We can't just go ahead and do whatever pleases ourselves. We must be considerate of the doubts, the fears of others who even could be offended. We should think of what is good for others and build them up by doing what pleases them. Does that mean you're a people pleaser? No. It means you're living your life not for yourself. You're living your life in surrender. For Christ did not please himself. Instead, he felt, as the scriptures and Psalm says, when others insult you, it hurts me. In other words, when you live your life in the service of other people, not to steal something from them, but to actually pour into them, love them, encourage them. In other words, it says that Jesus is on your side because you're operating in the way that he lives and operates. And when you're manipulating relationships, even in marriage, to get what you want, and you give out of that place, that is a selfish way to live. That's not surrendered. And if you live in that kind of selfish, what you're going to get back is more selfishness. You're going to be at the center of it all, and eventually it will lead you to isolation. That's where you'll have a peace erosion or a peace explosion, because no other person can fulfill the deepest desires of your heart. I've got a rock star wife when it comes to loving me, encouraging me, building me up, challenging me, helping me, loving and building our kids in our home. Yesterday, she did like 5 days of family adventure all in one day because she just wanted to bless her kids at the start of spring break. And yet, if she, as much as she is a giver to me, is my source and supply of my joy, then I'm dependent on her, the barometer of her heart. I'm dependent on her good day or bad day, whether I have a good day or a God day. And so what a selfish way to live if I needed her to prop me up. And yet in this marriage union where two of us are now become one, if I'm living built up and she's living built up and there's encouragement here, guess what? There can also be challenge and there can also be change and there can also be correction and there could even be conflict. And yet when we reorg it in the right way, we're both moving up and to the right because she's not my, as much as she's a blessing and strength to my life, that ultimately came from God. And I see him as my supply, not my beautiful sweet wife. Can I say more nice things about you? Because now I am winning points of approval. We have priorities in our relationships. Let me give you your priorities. This is what I think it is biblically. First and foremost, you want to guess who's number one? Jesus. Yep, thank you. There's one person here. You're going to have great relationships. You got to figure it out. Jesus, obviously. If he's not first, everything else falls apart eventually. Why? He's our firm foundation, the rock of our salvation. He's our living hope. He's our ever-present help in time of need. He's the grace of God who has forgiven us and sets us free. He's our strong tower that we run to and we're saved. He has to be first. Second is your spouse if you're married. And if anyone else comes even close to those first two, you need to reorg your life. Then it is your children. I did not say extended family. I said your children. They are a high priority. Dads and moms, we're called to cover, protect, build, encourage. If you weren't here last week, watch the message. We raise world changers in Kingdom City Church. We don't graduate kids onto college and career. We graduate them from college, career, into calling and into making an eternal difference with their life because the here and now is not everything. Amen. After that, what do we have? I would say this. This might not be popular, but I believe biblically it's true. You have your spiritual family, your church. Even before your extended family. Because this is the what we're known by. We're born again into this new family of faith. That does not lessen the value of your extended family. It's just a priority placement. Then you have your loved ones and family around you. Then you have the entire world, and then it's you. And then it's you. But you think you come in last by putting yourself last on the list. By the way, that's the way Jesus lived. He put himself as nothing, and now he's exalted into everything. And if we would live that way, God will promote and bless your life and your relationships. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, all of you, so no one gets away from this one, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and humility, humble mind. How about we just look at that list and says, God, would you make my inner world look more like 1 Peter 3, verse 8? And if you would do that, you will win in relationships. Where do I need to change? God will tell you. The right relationships will tell you. Where do I need to acknowledge my part to play in this conflict or this issue? Where do I need to own my own mistakes? Where do I need humility? Let me give you the answer to that. everywhere. You never graduate from humility. The more actually God would honor or bless your life, the more humility you should choose, because it was never about you anyway. Proverbs 28, verse 13, anyone who refuses to admit mistakes can never be successful. But if you confess and forsake them, in other words, you confess and you move on from them, you're gonna get another chance. That's the grace of God that comes in your life when we walk in humility. You wanna change your spouse? You walk in humility. You be a person in prayer. You model what it looks like. You say, I'm sorry, even when you're owed 15 of them back. And by modeling that, I promise you, the grace of God will begin to soften the heart of your spouse, and God will begin to bring reconciliation where there's been division. Because honestly, when I stay on the potter's wheel, Isaiah 64, God's hand's on your life. When I just choose to be the one that keeps growing with God, keeps walking in humility, when I put myself on the wheel and never allow myself, no matter how successful I might be, to graduate from that place in spirit of humility, that means God's hand is continually on my life. And my Bible says that if I humble myself under his mighty hand, if I stay on the wheel, God makes me into a masterpiece. He elevates me in due season. So if you're walking in humility and forgiveness and God's working in you, but you don't see change in your relationships, just stay the course. Promotion from God is on the way, but pride will stop it. Never graduate from being on the hand of God, so always keep yourself on the potter's wheel. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33, Paul says, I try. I'm trying. My intentions, my effort is to please everyone. Does that mean he's a people pleaser? Not at all. What he's talking about is I'm trying to navigate the complexities of all these relationships between Jew and Greek, between people that are for me and people that are against me. The people that were once with me and betrayed me and those that have been riding with me from day one. He says, I'm trying to please as many as possible. But he has enemies. He's got the silversmith, Simon. He pretty much just calls him a human devil. He's got people that betrayed him. He also, at the end of some of his epistles, he's got people saying, they were with me, they rode with me, they were ride or die, they were regulators, we mounted up together, we rolled together. But he says, my intentions that I'm living for everyone else, but not for their approval. I'm doing it for their salvation. So I don't just do what I like to do, what is best for me, but I do what's best for them. Why? So they may be saved. Oh, this is why peace is so powerful in your life. Because it is a living, breathing testimony of the culture of heaven showing up in the way you love and care for people. That there's more at play than just going to bed at night with serenity in your bedroom, or peace in the moment, or the family sticking together. The world is watching and looking for a new and living way. That's why humility and peace are such a powerful allies together for the promotion of kingdom come through your life. So we have this priority list that we keep. Why? Because our intentions are to bring salvation to others. 4, peacemakers are honest, humble, and kind. Not dishonest. We're not partial truth tellers. Let's say Philippians chapter 2, it says, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than even yourself. That's actually the way to be honored by God, where it really matters. We're not dishonest. What are we? We're not prideful. We don't just see things our own way. And we're not unkind. You don't rebuild relationships by tearing people down. You might have to take things apart to put them back together, but you don't destroy something that you feel like God is destined for it to win and to thrive. Proverbs 3, verse 3, do not let kindness and truth ever leave you. Wear it like a necklace. Wear it, or let it be engraved and written on your heart. So it's in us first, and then it's seen outwardly with the way we love. I just want to speak to the Kingsmen, the men of Kingdom City Church. It is a time for passive men that just go along with whatever culture says, or even your spouse says. It is time to graduate into biblical masculinity, which is to be strong and courageous, but also equally caring and kind. What you see in the life of Jesus should be the reality of the life of a man of God. Jesus was not weak. He might have had meekness, which is strength under power, but he was strong. and yet he would stop in love and care, moved with compassion. Children wanted to come to him. So what are we going to be? We're going to be strong. We're going to be serving. We're going to be courageous. We're going to be called. We're going to be caring. We're going to be leaders in our home by serving our family, not them serving us. If you're not coming to Wednesday night, wives, make your husband come. It's going to be powerful. You can thank me later. Kind is not soft, and it's not secretive. Clarity is kindness. Letting people know where you stand, not playing games. Hey, by the way, you did that, and maybe you're not sorry, but it hurt me, and I've just chosen before you even say I'm sorry to say I forgive you, but we're not doing that again. Because I value what God's called me to do in my life, and ultimately what he's called to do in your life, for me to stay in this kind of tumultuous relationship another moment. But if you always have to speak your peace, P-I-E-C-E, you won't get peace. If you always got to get the last word, you might get the last laugh, but you'll be laughing alone. If you're that person that always has to be right, your relationship eventually will all go wrong. James chapter 3, verse 6, I love this from the Message paraphrase. Carelessness, a wrongly placed word out of your mouth can what? It destroys. But by our speech, what we can turn harmony or peace into chaos. We can throw mud on reputation. We can send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke from the pit of hell. How many love the Message paraphrase? When I don't guard this and I just got to say whatever I need to say, carelessly, I don't put care into what I'm speaking, it destroys. But the opposite can be true, can it not? That if I do guard and I care about what I say and I'm kind and I'm clear and I'm courageous and I'm committed, I'm sacrificial and humble, I don't posture up, but I show up to serve, and sometimes I have to speak the truth in love. And when I live my life in relationships that way, I don't tear down, I build up. I don't throw mud on, I clean things up. I don't destroy things, I restore things. This is the way God has called us to live in our relationships, people that protect the peace. Final thought, peacemakers are bridge builders. And we can even use conflict to produce change. We can grow and reach new levels of unity. Now they say if you're gonna be a bridge, be ready to get walked on by both sides. I don't like that one. What I think a bridge is something you build. Is like, hey, if you wanna come over here to where God's called me to be, it's not all about me, but if you wanna be that close to me, this is what the bridge looks like. I'm clear. But if you bring that family chaos and noise and you always want to talk about what the other sibling does or what that person is doing, and if gossip's always flowing in your life and you don't honor God's ways and God's word, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to pray for you. I'll still maybe hang with you every once in a while, but you are not coming over on my island. Because this, the people that live over here are the people of peace. And everywhere you seem to go, chaos seems to follow. So carefully, considerately, prayerfully, sacrificially, I'm gonna show you what the bridge looks like. And you might have torn it down with your actions. I'll rebuild it. I'll show you what it means to come across. The bridge might get longer, but there's a door open for you to do this the God way and us to go forward into the God plan. Ephesians 4 says, don't say harmful things. You can speak the truth and you can do it in love. But we're not to harm, we're here to heal. We're here to build others up according to those blessing their needs and meeting their things, the benefit of them. So we are bridge builders. James chapter 3 says, and those who are peacemakers, what are we? We plant seeds of peace, and we're gonna reap a harvest of righteousness or even right God-honoring relationships. So in other words, it doesn't happen overnight. I'm planting seeds right now intentionally and peacefully on purpose because what I feel like will grow in the long run will be something that's just right and honoring to God. And that's ultimately what we want in our relationships, them to be in right standing with God and each other. This is what God has for us. We're bridge builders, but we're also, listen, sometimes we have to be ship burners. That we're not gonna go back to the chaos of yesterday. Cortez, and I'm not validating the conquistadors here, okay? This is not revisionist history. I'm just saying, he sunk the ships because there was no place for surrender. We are not going back. We got new territory to take. And some of you, okay, Bible, like a dog returns to its vomit, you return to your folly. The Bible doesn't say that to be gross. It says that for you to have a wake-up call. That why do you keep getting things the same exact way? Why do you keep losing your peace? Why? Because you keep going back to who you used to be. But Jesus is saying, come follow me. I'm going this way. And this is a way of sacrifice, and this is a way of surrender, and this is a way of humility, and this is a way of healthy relationships. Don't return back. You might just need to burn the ships to yesterday. What does that look like for you? The Holy Spirit will show you, and the Word of God will lead you. But you will not get to your future if you're constantly looking back to your yesterday. We're not going back. We're fighting for our future. We're not going back to our old ways. There's something God wants us to win at relationally right in front of us. Final verse is here, 2 Corinthians 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Come on, let's have our joy back and strive. There's that word again, I'm pressing in to full restoration. God wants to redeem, God wants to restore. By the way, he can bring dead marriages back to life, dead friendships back to life. We want to encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Don't leave, we're gonna be done in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I want to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to receive communion. I'm going to see the communion elements. The reason we're doing it at the end of the service is because I really feel that God wants to have this covenant moment of connection with you, for you to have healing and health and peace where you've had problems, chaos, and life as relationships have been out of control. Can I get the communion elements? Don't open them quite yet, because before we do this, I want to lead us in a simple prayer moment. The Bible says that you can take communion if you're an unbeliever, but it has no power. It's the world's worst snack. But for those who have called on Jesus in their salvation and put him first and foremost in their life, it is a moment, not just of remembrance. I believe it has divine power as we remember the goodness of God to restore and redeem and even heal in the moment. Because what we're doing is a symbol, but it's got spiritual power. We're taking in all the things that he's given us. And when he shows up, things that are not supposed to be in us begin to go out. Where we've been empty or lacking and incomplete, he becomes our fullness and our portion. Before we do that, I want to give an opportunity for you to know Jesus, for you to put him first in your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, in other words, maybe you've even been in church, but you never said, Jesus, I need to be saved. I need your grace. I believe you died for me. I am forgiven. I receive that. And this is your moment. Maybe you've said that prayer before, but your priorities have been out of place. Maybe you've exalted a relationship, a marriage, or even family above Jesus. Maybe you've been chasing after wealth, money, success. That's not even wrong, but it is when it's out of alignment. It's got to be Jesus first. Because if Jesus isn't king, then the Prince of Peace isn't there. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer. But if that is you, for the first time you're saying yes to Jesus, or you're coming back home, you're putting him first. You're saying, Jesus, sit on the throne of my heart. You're number one. And then, by the way, that's the only way that relationships will work. That is the only way that life works. Is the one that created you. You, by your choice, by your decision, exalt him to the highest place of priority. With no one looking around, if that is you, we're gonna pray a prayer all together as one family of faith. But if that is you, would you just raise your hand, Pastor Kyle? I need saving grace today. I'm making a first time decision today. I'm coming back home to Jesus today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anybody else? 6, awesome, beautiful. Joining the people from the first service, that's wonderful. Maybe it's you online, maybe that's you at Lansing. Don't miss this opportunity. Can we pray this prayer together as one big family? Come on, say this with me. Say, thank you, God, for loving me. I was distant, separated by sin, could not save myself, but you so loved me. You sent your one and only Son. My Savior, King Jesus, died for me, paid for my sins. I am forgiven. The grace of God is more than enough. I'm set free. I have a future. And in my future, from this moment on, Jesus, you are King. You are first in my life. Amen. Can we celebrate everyone who prayed that prayer? We've got a next step for you in just a moment. But now you may open your elements. Where are you lacking peace? Maybe it's not even a relationship with a person. Maybe it's your relationship with money. Maybe you're inviting a substance or even approval of people to give you your worth or to alleviate the stress. It's time to let him be your source your supply, your strength. Let him really be your Savior. Not just in a prayer that you pray, but in the deepest place of your heart. Maybe you've got a lot of toxicity been building up because you've been holding on to things. Don't let the spark get you. Let it go right now. Let it go. You have been forgiven and you can forgive. Amen. Would you hold up the bread? Lead us in prayer. God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you were broken so we could be made whole. I know in this room and online right now, there are people that relationships have fractures and fault lines and maybe are falling apart. Maybe it already feels like it's dead and gone, but we're trusting your resurrection power and grace. Lord, where the enemy has tried to divide, we thank you. You're going to bring unity. You're going to bring peace. You're bringing restoration. By your grace, you're healing hearts, relationships, friendships. Dynamics between families are healthy and whole because Jesus, we're putting you at the center. The Prince of Peace is now in charge. And because you were broken for us, you then can fix and restore us. And we thank you that by your grace, we are made whole. Let's receive it. Jesus, you said that this cup, your life, like a cup of wine, would be poured out, and by your blood we would be forgiven, and we would be restored. We thank you that as we take this in a moment, we take it by faith in the finished work of the cross, that although we might not have seen the relationship be fixed yet, although the issue in our life might not be healed or whole yet, we're going to receive the healer who is going to go to work. And with a spirit and posture of humility, we say, investigate us first. Restore us first. Redeem us first. In 1 Timothy 2, it says, there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. We thank you, you're the one. You're our number one. And as you reconcile us with God, you also then reconcile us with people. God, I pray right now that there's a new anointing on our relationships, on our marriages, on the raising of our families, on our interpersonal connections with others, that we do it the God way, and we bring peace, and we protect peace, and we experience peace as our portion. In the name of Jesus, let's receive the cup. And Lord, we thank you in advance. Although it might be a moment of encouragement or a challenge to our heart, he who began this good work in us is faithful to complete it. I speak life over marriages, over relationships, over family dynamics between sons and fathers, mothers and daughters, siblings. God, I thank you for friend groups where there used to be division, where there used to be animosity. Now the Prince of Peace is bringing grace and the goodness of God rules and reigns. Where divorce has been knocking on the doorstep, we close the door and we say, not in this house, not in our life, not in Kingdom City Church. God, your plan will prevail for unity, for peace, for harmony, and for blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, can we give him some glory and some praise? Amen. Amen. Love you, church.